Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And away we go. Hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up 20 minutes from now, former Bengals running back will do a little icky shuffle with Icky Woods. Can't wait to talk to him. And then an hour from now, Hall of Fame pitcher. 25 years ago today, became a World Series champion, delivered 8 unbelievable innings in Game 6 for the Braves to get a victory over the Indians. Tom Glavine will stop by. A whole lot to do before we say goodbye to you at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, and we're all over the World Series. Congratulations to the Los Angeles Dodgers, World Series champions for the first time since 1988. Mookie Betts, ring number 2. Boston, what were you doing? Traded Mookie Betts. Clayton Kershaw, a well-deserved ring number 1. Kind of related to Alexander Ovechkin a few years ago, finally getting to lift the Stanley Cup over his head. So many years of being so close, but yet so far. One of the all-time greats in Ovechkin, one of the all-time greats in Clayton Kershaw. Clayton Kershaw finally got his moment last night, and was brilliant when he was able to pitch in this series. So that's the Dodger side of it. Sure, of course, you also get into the aftermath of finding out that Justin Turner did test positive for COVID-19, got pulled right before the start of the 8th inning, and then was on the field after the game celebrating with his teammates. And that's been a big topic of conversation and a big point of contention for many. So we've hit on all that, and yes, if you're just getting into your car right now, or if you're just tuning into the radio.com application, if you're listening to us on a smart speaker, however it may be, we have obviously talked about what has needed to be talked about, and that is just analytics and analytics gone horribly wrong. And each and every year, it seems like in the postseason, I put a big fat textbook in front of me, and I just slam my head on the textbook. Because I see the same ending to a lot of games over and over and over again. When you see the demise of a team, what is it because? Analytics. I'm not telling you analytics are horrible. I'm not sitting here and telling you don't embrace analytics. But you can't be blind. You can't always trust the analytics. There has to be some spots where you use that information and you implement it. Then there needs to be spots where no matter what the information is, you're seeing something with your eyes and you're using your brain and it tells you, okay, that's that information, but I'm going to trust my gut. And last night, the front office for the Rays, the manager for the Rays, Kevin Cash, didn't use their eyes and didn't use their brain. They didn't. I don't care if Mookie Betts and Seager, they tell you, the analytics tell you, you don't want to go up against them 3 times in a row. You know, you don't even need to shoot up. Mookie Betts with True Serum last night. He was telling everybody. He was telling his mom's plumbers, like caterer, 7th cousin last night. When they pulled Blake Snell out of the game, I said thank you. And the reason the Rays did that was so Snell didn't get exposed against Mookie Betts and Seager. That's why you did it. The Dodgers saw that and they were basically genuflecting to Kevin Cash and all the brainiacs in the front office for the Rays and saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because you pulled the hot hand. And the hot hand, he was heated when he was walking off the mound. Shaking his head in disgust, definitely let out a few expletives, and I don't blame him. because that was a dumb decision in a 1-0 game. 73 pitches. He allowed his second hit of the game, his first hit in that inning, and you pull him? Go down with your best stuff. Go down with your best piece. Instead,
well, according to my calculations tell me that we cannot let Blake Snell go up against Mookie Betts for the third time, and we cannot let him go up against Corey Seager for the third time as well.
You know what? Take your computer and smash it with the baseball bat. Remember in Zoolander, I have the information. It's in the computer. And then they throw the computer on the floor because the guy actually thought the information was physically in the computer, not on the computer. That's what someone in the Rays front office last night or Kevin Cash should have done. And I understand Kevin Cash, he's basically being used as a puppet here and someone's controlling what he does. You got to speak up in that situation. And if it gets you fired and if it blows up in your face, so be it. So be it. At least do what you think is right. And if we had about 6-7 beers with Kevin Cash tonight, and we got him to start being a little drama queen and tell us everything, I don't think he ultimately believes in the decision. And he could tell you after the game, guys, it wasn't my decision. Or it was my decision. I have the final call. I don't buy that. Baloney. BS. Horse crap. Because if you're a baseball guy, you're not making that move. There's no way you're making that move. Snell was sensational, and you pull him after one lousy hit, and he's at 73 pitches? He's not at 108 pitches? He didn't allow two hits. You know, if he allows a double, even then I don't pull him, but that's one thing. He allows a solo blast. That's another thing. It's a 1-0 game. Your offense can't do anything, and you pull this guy. And then 1-0 turns into 1-1, and then 1-0 turns into 1-1, and 1-1 turns into 2-1, and you're down. So get all over the decision. And even if you're going to say, well, that's how the Rays got here, that's not good enough. This is an elimination game, for crying out loud, folks. An elimination game. Do or die. Life is on the line. You're not trying to extend and save your pitcher. There's no tomorrow for him. There's no tomorrow for your team if you lose that game. And you went to Nick Anderson, who has been stinking up the joint in his last six games, 7 earned runs. Decision number one that was dumb was pulling Blake Snell. Decision number two that was even dumber was going to Anderson. Disgraceful, disgraceful, disgraceful all around. So congratulations to the Dodgers. And going into this series, we had two kinds of takes. It was either going to be the year of LA or it was going to be the year of Tampa. Because Tampa already won a Stanley Cup with the Lightning this year, getting over the hump. And for LA, you just had the Los Angeles Lakers with LeBron James win a championship. So someone was going to add a second championship, and it so happened to be the Los Angeles Dodgers. So everyone's going to tell you, this is the year of LA. Oh, the year of LA. They're going to win the third championship? Chargers not going to do so. However, with that being said, Justin Herbert looking pretty good. Rams, can they get back to the Super Bowl? They were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Rams had a nice victory up against the Bears. You know, I know it's nothing to jump up and down about, but you do have a football team that's 5-2. And I look at the Rams, do I consider them a Super Bowl contender? No, I don't. I think they're a good team. I don't think they're a great team. Jared Goff, too inconsistent for me. The defense, I'll give him credit. Bringing in a new defensive coordinator has been a lot better than what I thought. That defense has been pretty damn good. But I look at who they beat so far. I think 5-2 is a little bit misleading. You beat the Cowboys. You beat the Eagles. Sure, early in the season, we thought those teams were better than what they turned into. But there's nothing to really celebrate about beating Dallas and Philadelphia this year. And then your other three victories, two other NFC least teams, the New York Football Giants, who you barely beat 17-9, and then you beat Washington by 20 points. That's nothing to throw a parade about. And then you beat Chicago, who Nick Foles, he is just not a good quarterback. I know he's had some great moments, but he's not a good quarterback week in and week out. And you beat them 24-10. You had a chance the week prior to really knock out the 49ers and you allowed them back in the race. And that's my big concern with the Rams. Where Goff, he could be good at times. He could be completing 70% of his passes at times. But in that game up against the 49ers, he looked completely lost. It was really bad. That's a 49ers team that's banged up left and right on that defense. So that's what I think. Even though I like the coaching for the Rams, ultimately, I don't trust Jared Goff when you're not going to get a bye because you're not going to be the one seed to go win your four straight games in the playoffs this year. So right now, it's the year of LA. Dodgers, World Series champions. Congratulations. Lakers, NBA champions. Congratulations. But let's not write off Tampa Bay yet. Tampa Bay, I know a lot of people nationally don't love hockey. I personally love hockey. Tampa Bay wins a Stanley Cup. In the NFL, you got some guy named Tom Brady. He knows a thing or two about bringing home some hardware. And you have a team right now in Tampa Bay. Hello, they're only going to get better. And they're only going to get better, and they're 5-2. You know, there's a big difference being 5-2 with the Rams, even though the Rams beat the Bears and the Bucs did not, and being 5-2 with the Bucs with the way that defense is looking, with the way they ended last year and the way that they picked up this year. And then, oh yeah, offensively, you got the GOAT. Run game, you got Fournette. You got Ronald Jones. And the receiving game, Godwin will be out this week because of the finger injury. You got Mike Evans. Gronk is starting to find that second life coming back from retirement. Scotty Miller put up 108, 109 yards last week and had a touchdown, which was a perfect dime from Tom Brady. You got a lot of names. And oh yeah, you add in some guy that's been in the news. Antonio Brown, he'll make his debut up against the Saints. Now, I get it. Antonio Brown is tough to trust. Antonio Brown is basically impossible to trust. You're asking him to show up and behave for half a season. Can he do that? I don't know. Can you definitely be concerned and upset with the things that he may have allegedly done off the field? Absolutely. And if you don't want to bring someone in like that, I totally get it. You know it and I know it, though. As long as you're not in jail, as long as you are eligible to play, no matter what the NFL tells you they're all about talent. And a guy like Antonio Brown can mess up a situation in Pittsburgh, mess up a situation with the Raiders, mess up a situation with the Patriots, and completely embarrass the league, and him be the head clown of a clown show, but because he has talent and because he's still one of the better wide receivers in the sport, he'll be given an opportunity coming off an 8-game suspension. And if Tampa Bay wasn't going to sign him, someone else would have. Would have been Seattle. Maybe it would have been the Ravens. Maybe it would have been the Packers. Maybe it would have been the Bears. I don't know who it would have been. So if you're the Bucs, I get why you signed Antonio Brown. And if he could be the Antonio Brown of old and doesn't have the off-the-field issues get in the way, you're going to be a team that could shift the conversation from it's the year of Los Angeles back to the year of Tampa. Lightning already Stanley Cup champions. Will the Bucks be Super Bowl champions? We shall see. But LA, today is your day. And you should be so pumped up. LeBron, Anthony Davis, championship. Clayton Kershaw, first ring. Mookie Betts, second ring, but his first ring with your organization. Bellinger, Seager, Muncy, Turner, all those guys. Walker Buehler, World Series champions for the first time since 1988. It was great to see Kershaw have that moment last night. Felt very good for Dave Roberts, who was once a World Series hero as a player. Now gets to live up and live the dream and win a ring as a manager where he's had some flaws, he's had some shortcomings in the past, but that's what I love. I love, and there's many ways to win a championship, but I love when a team's been knocking on the door year after year after year, has had to face adversity, people getting to a point where they feel hopeless and they go, this team's never going to win, and then they find a way to get it done. We saw it last year with the Nationals, and we saw it this year with the Los Angeles Dodgers. So if you're in LA right now, if you're a fan of Los Angeles sports teams, it's a good time to be an LA fan Dodgers, Lakers, very quickly, back-to-back championships going out west. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll do a little Icky Shuffle next. We'll talk some NFL. Icky Woods is my guest. We'll come back 5 minutes, CBS Sports Radio. Zach Gelb Show.
Live, he's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Coming up on Sunday, the NFL on CBS features the matchup of two elite teams fighting for divisional supremacy when the Pittsburgh Steelers bring their ironclad defense to Baltimore for a battle with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, plus a key AFC East showdown between the Bills and the Patriots. Join JB and the guys as they get you set for all the day's action on the NFL today, starting at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. Sunday, the NFL is on CBS. Also, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It will keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. It's a pleasure right now to welcome Icky Woods, the former Bengals running back, to the Zach Gelb Show. Icky joins us today on behalf of a charity that I absolutely love and I believe in the cause, the Gridiron Greats, with all the great people, Mike Ditka and Ron Jaworski. They host an incredible event each and every year at the Super Bowl. And always they partner up with Mark Singleton from Rudolph Foods and always pork rinds as well. So we'll bring in Icky Woods right now. Icky, thanks for the time. How you been?
I've been good, my man. How you been?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. When was the last time you did the Icky Shuffle? I remember the commercial a few years ago. You keep on doing the Icky Shuffle each and every football Sunday?
Not every football Sunday, man. I break it out sometime, man, but can't break it out if my Bengals don't start winning, man. You know, it's kind of rough to sit back and watch my Bengals right now, man. The defense is not playing well, but I tell you what, that young kid, our little quarterback, man, he's getting it done. I can tell you that.
And that was some game on Sunday. I know you got your emotions played with when it looks like they were going to win the game. Burrow to Bernard, and then Baker Mayfield marches right down the field and finds Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Yeah, it was a rough one, man. You know, we gotta do a better job on the defensive end, man. You know, anytime your offense scores, you know, more than 24, you should have an opportunity to win, man. And our guys on that defensive side of the ball is just not getting it done.
When I look at Joe Burrow, I'm very impressed. I was impressed last year. We all know the great rise from LSU. You know, I don't even know when that guy was going to be picked last year. And then he has the undefeated season, the greatest college football season I've ever seen from a quarterback. And he cements himself as the number one pick. What do you really like about him early on, even when he doesn't have a very talented roster so far?
Well, you know, I just like the way the kid comes out and commands, you know, he commands respect from the defensive side of the ball on our opposing defenses, and they know they gotta come to play, man, because he's just unbelievable in some of the things that he's doing right now, man. The way he's has got four or five straight 300-yard games, man. This is it's unbelievable, man. But I tell you, if we had a little bit of help on our defensive side of the ball, man, I think that kid right now would be 4-1-1, man. He would be have a winning record right now.
Icky Woods, do you understand what Carlos Dunlap did, Paul? He wanted to get out of there, and now he gets traded today to Seattle. Not a bad upgrade for someone that's a little bit older, right?
No, it wasn't a bad upgrade at all, man. But, you know, I can understand where, you know, Carlos is coming from, man. You know, they're not playing him. He's an all-pro. And I don't understand what's going on with our defense, man, down here in Cincinnati. But, you know, hopefully we can get that corrected. But, you know, it's unbelievable at what's going on down here defensively, man. It's I don't know what's going on. Just hopefully we can get it corrected down here.
How far away do you think this team is? Like, no one expected them to do anything this year, but do you think they could at least improve next year? Can they maybe get to 6-7 wins next year? Or is that asking too much?
I think they can, man, if they address that defense, man, and, you know, get some guys in there who could play. Well, I ain't going to say it. I think it's our coaching staff, man. We're not good. We don't have a good coaching staff, and I can't understand it. You know, you got a bunch of talented guys out there, and I think that's why Dunlap wanted out, man, because, you know, they're not putting these guys in the right position, man, and they're not using these guys in the right way. You know, I don't know where our defensive coordinator came from, but he's not doing a good job at all.
I know you're disappointed with the defense. The head honcho is an offensive mind. Do you see some signs that Zach Taylor could be a good head coach, or are you just still not sold yet?
I'm not sold yet, man. And Zach's done a good job because he's got the offensive side of the ball moving. It's that defensive side of the ball, man, that's giving us a bunch of problems right now. So, and you know, the offensive line has played well the last couple of games, but our first few games, you know, our offensive line didn't play well. So, We got a lot of improvement to make, but, you know, let's get on the pork rinds, man, and talk about the gridiron greats, man, the great things that they're doing with the older players, helping older players get, you know, the much needed help that they need, you know, especially guys who, you know, having medical problems. The gridiron great steps in and help those guys get things done the way they need it done. I know they helped me get my knees done, so I really appreciate the gridiron greats.
How are you feeling these days? Feeling good?
I'm feeling pretty good, man. Doing great. You know, I got a few aches and pains here and there, but that goes along with getting older as well. But, you know, I'm doing great and having fun. You know, hopefully we can get through this pandemic that's going on, and, you know, it's that really put a monkey wrench in everything. But, you know, but life goes on, man. We got to keep moving.
So tell me a little bit more, Gridiron Greats. Also, you have Southern Recipes and all they do with Pork Rinds Appreciation Day and the partnership of Gridiron Greats. The floor is yours. Tell me what everything I need to know.
Oh, yeah, man, that's a great partnership. And they also given a way this year $5,000. So if you want to get registered for that $5,000, they can go online and at porkrinds.com and get registered in that. And like I said, the Southern Recipe, their Pork Rinds are doing a great job. And Gridiron Great is doing a wonderful job as far as helping, like I said, helping the older guys get the medical attention that they need and helping them get the get through some of the aches and pains.
Baker Mayfield's been struggling. You got to see him last week, and after starting 0-for-5, he went 22-of-23, 297 yards and 5 touchdowns. Icky Woods, I know you're not a big fan of the Cincinnati Bengals defense. You made that clear. Is that more of the defense he was going up against, or do you think Baker's starting to hit a turning point in his career and turning things around?
I just think it's the defense he went against, because if you look to the defense that he played the week before, the Pittsburgh Steelers, he was horrible. So we'll see what happens, man. Baker's a good quarterback. I think he's he has a good nucleus there in Cleveland. They're doing a great good job right now with what they have, and we'll see what they do this week, if they can come out and play. But they're playing some good ball because they're 5-2. You know, they got a winning record, so they're doing some good things. Just, you know, when Baker comes up against a bona fide defense, he doesn't do as well or handle himself as well as he should. But he's getting better every year, and we'll see what happens. You know, I always like to see the Ohio teams do good, so I'll be rooting for Cleveland sometime when they're not playing the Bengals. So hopefully they can get it done.
Now, before we let you run, Icky Woods, wrap it up with him. You know, who are the running backs that you really like in the National Football League right now? Is there a back or two that catches your eye?
Oh, yeah, man. That kid out of Tennessee is doing a great job right now. The Henry kid is just phenomenal running back, and kid down in Minnesota. I think he got hurt, but he was doing Devin Cook. He was having, you know, he was having a great year, and then I think he tore ACL, so he's out for the year. The young kid down there in Carolina doing a great job, the McCaffrey kid. So there's a bunch of good running backs out there. Plus, I got one down here in Cincinnati that's not too bad. Joe Mixon does a great job. Him and Giovanni do a pretty good job. But yeah, there's a lot of great talent in the NFL.
No, I know that you're not going to be happy on Sunday because Derrick Henry probably going to run right through the Bengals defense, right?
Man, why you had to bring that up, man? Right? Yeah, man. I don't know what's going to happen on Sunday, man. Yeah, we got Derrick Henry coming in here, man, and I know they lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers last week, so I know they're going to have a chip on their shoulder. So I just hope we can, you know, our defense can muster something up. I don't think they're going to be able to stop Henry, but hopefully they can slow him down, and hopefully our offense can get out there and have a great game and, you know, and be competitive. Hopefully they can compete.
Yeah, I don't see it. Porkrinds.com, SouthernRecipeSmallBatch.com, GridironGreats.org, Icky Woods. You know what? God bless you. Hopefully you got a better defensive performance coming up in the near future.
Hey, Zach, I appreciate you, man. I really do, man. You guys go to Porkrinds.com and check it out and help the Gridiron Greats, man. It's a wonderful organization, and so is Rudolph Foods and Porkrinds. Check it out.
You got it. Thanks so much. There's Icky.
All right, Zach. Thank you, brother.
There he is. All right. Just a few quick things there on some of the running backs that he brought up. I actually just saw this a few moments ago from Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter was responding to a Dalvin Cook tweet. Dalvin Cook's not out for the year. Limited supply of gear available. Your purchase help Viking Table, whose mission is to provide health meals and nutrition education to children regardless of their circumstance. Let's support each other. See y'all Sunday. That was from Dalvin Cook. Not Devin Cook, Dalvin Cook. But I get it. You know, people get names wrong all the time. I get names wrong all the time, too. There's times I was doing a radio interview a few weeks ago after we had Bilal Nichols on, and I said Austin Nichols. Because I'm thinking of this guy that played basketball at Memphis. And for some reason, Nichols was the last name. But Dalvin Cook, according to Schefter, and according to this tweet, Schefter said, so Dalvin Cook will be active Sunday against the Packers. So you get a little extra juice for Vikings and Packers. I don't know if Joe Mixon will be back this week for the Bengals. That would be fun if they at least get him back as you get Mixon and Burrow going up against Tannehill and Derrick Henry. You know, maybe that game could be good for a half. You would think Tennessee coming off that loss and how they didn't play great in the first half, then turned it up in the second half up against Pittsburgh, would win that game probably going away. And McCaffrey, it looks like he's coming back. Now, he was designated off the IR, so you would think, now they don't have to play him. They have a few weeks to make that decision. But you would think if you're going to make that move right there, and I saw that Matt Rhule said he's hopeful that he could play, you would anticipate that he is going to come on back, and that would be great. I would love to see McCaffrey, who I know Ian Rapoport a few days ago said he was a long shot, and then you find out the next day that he was designated to return from the reserve and injured list. I would love to see McCaffrey tomorrow night go up against the Atlanta Falcons and give credit to that Panthers team. Because they start off the year losing to the Raiders in a game that they should have won, let's be real. Then in week two, you have McCaffrey get hurt. You lose to the Bucs. Bad first half, good second half. Then you beat the Chargers without McCaffrey. You beat the Cardinals, and that win looks even better right now without McCaffrey. You take down the Falcons. You lose a game to Chicago. And then you just lost to the Saints where they tried that 65-yard field goal. If they make it, it goes into overtime. So now you sit there at 3-4. You could pull back to 500 this week. You don't need McCaffrey to take down the Falcons. I could understand erring on the side of caution. But if he wants to go, which you know he wants to go, but if they deem that he's good enough to go and it won't be any long-term damage, you're not rushing him back, then play him. So just to look at the next four, you know, this game's very important if you want to keep your playoff hopes alive. Because you're at 3-4. If you get back to 4-4, you probably have two back-to-back losses coming after that because you play the Chiefs and Tampa. So that will put you at, what, 4-6 if you pull even on Thursday? And then you lose to the Chiefs and the Bucs. But then you have the Lions, who the Lions are playing better. Now they're 500. You got the Vikings after that before you get into the bye. So when you look at this Panthers schedule, you got to take care of the Falcons. You got to beat the Lions when you can. And you got to beat the Vikings. You play them in week 12. You have the Broncos. You got to get that W. You still have Washington's football team. Sure, you also have the Packers and Saints sprinkled in. But let's just go, they lose to all these better teams. If you could beat Washington, Denver, Minnesota, Detroit, and then Atlanta, that would put you at 7 wins. Or no, 8 wins it would put you because you already have 3. If you get those 5 Ws, that puts you at 8 wins. If you could just squeeze one out against one of those better teams, you get to 9. Now, it's tough to expect a team like Carolina that is building right now to definitely win all those 5 games up against teams that you go, yeah, they should beat. And then expect them to pull an upset off against whether it's the Chiefs, the Bucks, the Packers, or the Saints. But that's a Carolina team. They're a good investment. And I think next year they'll take an extra step. And then by year number 3, maybe that's when you start to really develop some playoff expectations. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, I think the commissioner of Major League Baseball finally realized something last night. We'll tell you what that is. But first up with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, we get to Rich Ackerman.
The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I want to get to, in just 1 second, Rob Manfred from last night, which, my oh my, it was not a good moment for Rob Manfred after the game. And I know if you're listening right now, you will go, Zach, you have an agenda. You just hate Rob Manfred. How many times has this guy spoke on a big stage, handing out, by the way, that piece of metal? Even if there's an echo in his ear, I know all the TV people will tell me, as every TV person tries to become a media expert last night, oh, well, you have an echo going on the stage, and it's in his earpiece as well, and it's tough to speak. All right, whatever. I'm not going to get on the guy for not being able to like properly form a sentence last night because he was rattled a little bit. And that may be part of it because of the technology, but Connor, let's be real. That guy stopped talking for 4 seconds when he started to get booed last night. He finally realized last night that people don't like him. When a stadium, when you only have 10, 11,000 fans, you're probably not even thinking he's going to get a terrible reception. And even if people are booing him, you probably can't hear it. Those were deafening boos last night for 10, 11,000 people. And guess what? Even though he got through baseball season with the mess that he put us through in the offseason leading up to the start of the season with what transpired with the Astros, which, let's be fair, he's not going to punish the players because you don't want to take away from an organization in terms of their on-the-field product with the active players. He was going to take away draft picks. He was going to get Luno out. He was going to get Cora out, even though probably Cora ends back up in Boston. And who knows where Who knows where Hinch is going? And then he got Cora out with the Red Sox and Beltran out with the Mets. So, like, you know, I can't really get on him for the Astros punishment. But what I can get on him for is the public relations nightmare that he put on in the aftermath of that, where he was saying, oh, it was a tough day for me. Like, you're the commissioner of baseball. I don't want to hear about your tough day. Or when he started to call that World Series trophy a piece of metal. Like, you degrade the trophy? What your players are fighting for, that's a piece of metal? So I'm not a big fan of Rob Manfred, and he allowed his owners to basically cry poverty in this pandemic when it was a fight between billionaires and millionaires. Which, the whole thing disgusted me. The guy has zero leadership, he has zero backbone, and he is an awful commissioner. And he gets so caught up, 3 batter minimums, like all these little things that don't really affect the pace of play. They don't. I would have saved you 10 minutes, 11, 12, 13, even 15 minutes. Is there a different center in a baseball game for 3 hours compared to 3 hours and 15 minutes? So there's a lot of things that I don't like about Rob Manfred. But to be fair, Roger Goodell, at least when I saw him at the draft in Philadelphia, he had fun with the Eagles fans when they're booing him. Like, come on, Philadelphia, boo me. This year, when he was stuck in his house and basically in that chair that they were hyping up on ESPN and NFL Network, like, look at the commissioner's chair, which, Connor, I don't know about you. If you're the commissioner making $40 million, I was expecting a little bit more of an extravagant and comfortable-looking chair, right?
And I was also expecting him to be wearing, like, a suit and tie, but there were situations where he wasn't.
I'm fine with him being a regular guy. They're not going suit and tie.
I don't know. I think if you're representing the league and it's your draft, he's, like, sitting on his couch with his leg kicked up and he's, like, leaning back. It's like, you know, how about a little bit of a suit and tie? But the chair was also not the best you would expect from a guy that makes, like, $50 million a year.
Exactly. So even at the draft this year, when they had the virtual fans there, he goes, come on, guys, boo me, boo me. Like, it was funny. Bettman at the draft a few years ago, I think it was in Vancouver, he brought the Sedin twins out there to stop the boos. So you could have fun with it. You know, when you're the commissioner, every commissioner gets booed. It's part of the tradition of the draft. It's part of the tradition of handing out a championship. The only commissioner that doesn't get booed is probably Adam Silver. That's it. So Manfred last night is at the podium. And I would really say this is the first year where there is an intense, great amount of animosity for Rob Manfred. And this is what it sounded like.
Let me start with the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred.
2020 is going to be remembered.
Where'd you go, Rob?
Thank you. 2020 is going to be remembered as a baseball season like no other.
Wow. I thought the pause was long in the moment last night. I didn't realize it was that long. Connor, play that one more time. I got to hear that one more time. Go ahead.
Let me start with the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred.
2020 is going to be remembered.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
Thank you. 2020 is going to be remembered as a baseball season like no other.
9 seconds? He was rattled. He was shook. Don't tell me that's the earpiece and the echo and all that. He was legitimately surprised that he got booed, and he finally sat there last night, and I've been the biggest Rob Manfred critic. I've called him a clown. I've called him incompetent. I've called him terrible at his job. I've called him gutless. I've said he's had zero backbone. I have been ruthless in voicing my frustration about Rob Manfred. And even his biggest critic, I actually felt bad for the guy last night. Not a large part of me felt bad, but a minuscule amount of me finally felt bad for him, where I said, this guy is so tone deaf. And I've been saying he's been tone deaf for a while, but he is so tone deaf that he didn't even know that reaction was coming. And he looked dejected last night. He looked demoralized last night. And it almost looked like at times that he was on the verge of crying. Right, Connor? In the moment last night, I think he finally realized, oh, wow, people really don't like me. And I don't think he was ever able to recover. Or yes, the technical stuff probably made him sound a little bit more off than what actually happened. But also with the emotion that he was feeling from the booing at the start of the ceremony, he was rattled.
And I think he knew people were not happy with how he handled the negotiations over the summer. They don't like him that much to begin with. They don't love the fact that he's changing the game so radically. But then to actually be out there with the microphone.
He didn't speak for 9 seconds.
And you hear the boos.
The cat got his tongue.
I think it's a lot different when you know people don't like you, but when people are actively booing you in unison, it's a lot different.
And everyone has that moment in life, not on a national stage, where you think you're friendly with someone, and then you find out your friend is talking smack, talking junk behind your back, and you go, wow, I'm stunned. I'm amazed, and then I'm really just hurt and disappointed. And Rob Manfred walked into that stadium last night. If this is the final game, I know people don't like me, but it's 10, 11,000 people. Maybe you'll have 3,000 people booing and you won't really be able to hear it. And then he heard 10, 11,000 people sound as if they were 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30,000 people. Those were some hellacious boos. And Manfred, with basically a tear coming down his face, finally said, "Wow, I've come to the realization, I've looked myself into the mirror, and I realize people actually don't like me." I don't know. I usually enjoy making fun of Rob Manfred. Didn't you feel a little bit bad for him last night?
I feel pretty bad for him because I think he's just misguided. I believe he's trying to make baseball a quicker, more exciting game for kids.
But he attacks all the wrong things.
Right. He just does it in the wrong way, and he attacks these minuscule things like the three-batter minimum.
But you put a video up on social media, and they get it taken down in a second, which that's how you attract the youth.
That's how you attract young fans. Or you tell batters just you can't step out of the box, or we'll hand out fines if you step out of the box too many times. Instead, he tries to like radically change the game. He wants to expand the playoffs, the 10th inning rule, guy on second base. He's trying his best. It's just not working. And then you just see him get booed so severely. It is kind of tough to watch.
Well, sometimes you have little Johnny who wants to be a great basketball player. And you love him. And little Johnny is always in the gym working out. But if you can't hit a jump shot and if you can't play defense, you're not going to make the team. And what has Rob Manfred shown me that inspires me to have confidence in him? And that's who Rob Manfred is right now. He's little Johnny who tries really hard. He thinks he's doing the right thing, and then everyone has that moment, and you realize you're not going to be a pro player. And I don't think Rob Manfred has realized that. I think for the first time, he started to second-guess himself last night. Man, that was rough. Even his biggest critic, yours truly, felt bad for Rob Manfred last night. I never thought at one point this season I would feel bad for Rob Manfred. It did transpire last night because he was really shook. When we come on back, Tom Glavine's going to join us. We will touch on a bevy of topics from the World Series last night, starting with Blake Snell and the bad decision by the Rays to pull Blake Snell from the game. We'll get Tom's thoughts on analytics, the Dodgers winning the World Series, and of course discuss maybe the biggest story from the World Series, Justin Turner testing positive in the middle of the game last night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.